I don't want to follow that. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Second scripture today comes from 1 John, found on page 241, I believe, back here somewhere. In the fourth chapter of 1 John, we read these words beginning in the seventh verse. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and the hearing of his word. So this week, I got to choose what I was going to preach because it's one of these standalone Sundays where Corey's preaching the purple. I keep wanting to say the purple people, but that's not right. Preaching in the purple zone sermons. And so I got to choose the text, and I realized as I started writing my sermon that I picked the most simple text possible and probably one of the hardest to preach. I started reading other people's sermons, and I just felt like they were bogging it down. The message is pretty clear. What is the greatest commandment? Love God with everything you have. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now I should just sit down, right? Because that's the message. And you all think about that for a few minutes. And it is interesting about the commandments. I read from Matthew's gospel, and Matthew's gospel was written to Jews, and they would have known the 613 commandments. They would have known about what the commandments meant. If we go back and read in the First Testament, all the way through when God is doing for the people, it clearly says, keep my ordinances and my commandments. And it wasn't that God was setting up these laws for people to, you know, like traps to catch them in doing, you're doing right, you're doing wrong. The commandments were out of the love of God had for the people. The commandments were to keep them and allow them to have their best life and their best selves. You know, there was no refrigeration, so the food laws made sense to keep them safe, to keep them from getting sick. Some of the laws, when you hear them, you understand some of the 613, to honor the old and the wise, to learn the Torah and teach it. I love this one, and I wonder how many of us would actually keep this commandment, that every person shall write the scroll of the Torah for himself. Imagine writing the scriptures for yourself. To circumcise a male offspring, to affix the male mezuzah on the wall, and the house, the doorpost. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. To pray to God, to read the Shema every morning, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. To do that every single morning, and we're going to talk about that. To recite grace after meals. To love all human beings who are of the covenant. To not stand idly by when human life is in danger. Not to wrong anyone in speech. Not to cherish hatred in one's heart. Not to take revenge. These commands were a way of living. I was in seminary around the time that there was a lot of people fighting to keep the Ten Commandments on the walls in schools. And I always said, if you don't have any respect for the rule maker, the rules mean nothing. The commandments were not a bunch of rules to keep people in line. The commandments were an outpouring of God's love for the people of God to bring forth their best selves. And so, as you know in the text, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are always trying to catch Jesus in something. And so, in this particular time, what is the greatest commandment? Is ask of Jesus. And out of the 613, he picks and says, "Hear, O Israel," is what Matthew readers would have heard before that, "the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and with all of your might. Love God with everything you have. And love your neighbor as you yourself." And he goes so far to say that, all the words of the prophets, all of the commands hang on the truth of those two commandments. So here we are, friends, and today we're talking about what does it mean to love God with everything you have. It really does boil down to that. I didn't have a chance to listen to Corey's sermon yet, but I know that he chose "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." So I know he talked about love last Sunday as well. It's how we build the bridges that need to be built in this time and this place. But this is really a personal sermon today. I mean, this is for each of us as corporate, but certainly as individuals, that it is a simple message, but it really does come down to the fact that who do we say God is in our lives? And that we start with the greatest commandment, the greatest thing God calls us to do is to love God. Yesterday evening, I went to Kroger's and I walked in and it was late in the evening on February 15th, and they had a whole lot of flowers left. And so I bet you can get a good deal on roses at Kroger's today. And I thought, gosh, are there a lot of people that didn't get told they were loved this week? When we are called to love God, it really is a response. Our command, if you will, to love God is to really just to respond to the love that God has already outpoured to us. See, God, have you ever met a new Christian? I mean, somebody who really is a new Christian as an adult, who didn't know that they were loved by God, and they lived in some darkness, and then suddenly they feel enlightened, and they feel emboldened, and suddenly they know love. Have you met that person? They have a passion within them, don't they? See, for the many of us who've been nurtured into the faith, I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget the amazing love of God that is given for us. As the writer of 1 John said, that love looks like this. It looks like Jesus Christ coming into this world as an atoning sacrifice, that we are forgiven and loved by God. And if we can start with understanding that we are loved by God, then the greatest command would come right back out of us. Because we would know what it means to be so loved, that we are so loved, that we are never outside of the grace of God, that we are so loved that Jesus Christ would come and say, "This is my body. I want you to be a part of the work I have for you." That we are so loved that nothing we can do can separate us from that love of God. Friends, if we could claim just a little tiny bit of that, then out comes this amazing gift from us, that command to love God with everything you have. LaVise Hughes tells the story of her 5-year-old grandson saying, what does he call you? Nana. Nana, what is God? Now, how many of you all want to take on a 5-year-old's question as to what is God? The best answer. She said, "Well, do you know how you look at your puppy and you feel that love? Or you look at how your mommy looks at you, or how you look at your daddy and you feel that love?" The child said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, that is God." And he said, "Okay." Like a 5-year-old would. The writer of 1 John says, we haven't seen God, but when we love, That is when God comes into being. And friends, we have to start with this very simple message. There's no great exegesis of the sermon this morning. There's no great word play. I can say, oh, in Greek, this word means this. None of that. It's a simple truth of we are loved by God, and we are called to love God with every single thing we have within us, period. Augustine or Augustine, depends on your professor, says, love God and do as you please. That if we put first and foremost on our heart, on the doorpost of our minds and our thinking, that we will love God with everything we have when our feet hit the floor in the morning, then that will guide our actions, that we will love our neighbor just because that's how we love God. It has to start with that very first thing, that we are mindful that my words have power and that my actions have power and that I am called to love God because the creator of the universe loves me first. That is hard. There are a lot of people in this world that I think work real hard to be unlovable. You know, it's tough, but if you've never encountered love and grace and mercy in your own life, if you've never been told that you're worth something, then you don't know love. But for those of us who gather here this morning, we have some inkling of it, or we wouldn't be here this morning. And now we are called to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. One quote I read this week said, you know, bothering to love. Most people can't be bothered to love because they can't be bothered to get off their couch. Do you remember the definition of sin was not bothering to love? Imagine if we took to heart that we love God with everything we have and we trusted God, that somehow God is going to use me this day to bring love into this world. And that will change how I treat my neighbor, the words I speak to my neighbor, what I think about my neighbor. Often the changes need to come in that loving God with my mind because I think things that I probably know that are not the most building up. Friends, we live in a world that is so quick to tear each other down, so quick to be unkind. We live in a time where one post on Facebook can send everybody into just absolute craziness. We live in a time where words can dehumanize another person. And here we sit at this point in our lives where we get to choose. We have the luxury in this country of choosing how we spend our time and what we put our efforts on. And we are called, the greatest command is to love God. As we said, Debbie Laboon is at the end of her journey. She fought a valiant fight, but cancer is taking her earthly life. And this week I was with her, and she was very clear-minded. And she said, God, Trish, God. She made a triangle. She said, I see a triangle, and I see at the top God. And then she said, love, 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 love. Where she is on her journey, and to be aware of God and love, what a gift. And here we are on our journey, where we still have an opportunity to go into this world and spread more of that God love. Because when it all boils down to it, that really is what is at the core and what really truly matters in life. We can let our feet hit the floor tomorrow morning with God. I love you, and I want to follow that great command that I love you with everything I have within me. Then use me. Most of us think, well, I can't do that. There's too much attrition in the way for me. And here's the good news from 1 John 4, verse 13. By this we know we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the gift of his Spirit. Friends, the love that we need is already available to us. it's not just for us, for the keeping, that if we truly receive this gift of God's love, then that command that God put before us, that we would love God with all that we have, just flows out from us. And then if we love God, we have to love the children of God. We cannot say we love God and hate anyone else. This world needs Christians who are loving. This world needs people who gather in churches to leave here loving God and loving the children that God blesses us in our circle of influence. Friends, that is at the very core of who we are. And imagine if all of us could take to heart, it would change the dialogue we have with others. It would change the way we see division. It would change how we see someone who argues with us and we just don't understand. We might come to see a different way of thinking, or at least know why they believe what they believe. Because when there is love, there is an understanding and a connection that is deeper than anything we can imagine. God did not give us these commands as barriers or as rules. God gave us this command to say, this is where you will have life and have it abundantly. My friends, let tomorrow morning your feet hit the floor and the first thing out of your mouth, or maybe even while you're still laying in your bed, is, God, I love you, and love through me today. Help me to love you with everything I have. Help me to love my neighbor, and help me to love myself. And let that become something we get accustomed to doing. Let that be at the very center of our thought. I am embarrassed to admit that I have a sticker on my car that reminds me to be kind. And I have them outside my office if you look at one. When I back out of my driveway in the morning, the only way I can leave my house, I have to look in my rearview mirror, and the first thing I see are two words that say, be kind. We need reminders. Friends, let us make it a mantra of ourselves that we ask God to love through us, because when we truly say, God, I love you, and I want to love you with everything I have today, then you trust that Spirit that will come alongside of us. And I promise you, your world will look a little bit more like the kingdom, and your eyes will see a whole lot more grace and mercy than they do right now. Let us love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. May it be so.